You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
Well, it's Pentecost Sunday, and let me just say, it's not just on Pentecost Sunday that God pours out His Spirit, but He wants to pour out His Spirit on us every single day. Amen. Just the mere fact that you desire more of God's presence means that God will change you. Amen. The Holy Spirit's purpose is to help us to be more like Jesus in everything that we do. For you to receive the Holy Spirit, who of you want more of the Holy Spirit? If you want to receive the Holy Spirit in your life, the Bible is very clear that you must be born again. You first need a spirit that's been regenerated, and that's the first work of the Holy Spirit. A heart that is ready. A heart that's been sanctified, because the Holy Spirit is holy. Amen. The promise that was made to Abraham was something much deeper than just blessings. The reality, a deeper realm of victory in Christ Jesus. The promise that was made to Abraham was the Holy Spirit, Galatians 3:14, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's the promise that was made to Abraham. Yes, God blessed him, and he had riches, and he had wealth, but the promise was the Holy Spirit, because the first area where you should first prosper is in your spiritual life. Blessing is from the inside out. It is an awakening of the divine nature that's on the inside of you. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of God, the Spirit of Christ rests upon you. Isaiah prophesied about Jesus, and he said, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of knowledge, understanding, and the fear of God, the Spirit of counsel, rested upon him. And God wants that in your life so that we can be one with the difference. Amen. Family, listen to me. The Holy Spirit is not just here to give us goosebumps. But the Holy Spirit is here to make us holy. When you confess with your mouth and you believe with your heart you believe unto righteousness. Why? Because God sanctifies our heart. What God values more about you than anything else is beyond human comprehension, because in our hearts we are made to be like God. And Christ has come to sanctify our hearts by dying for all our sin. But he was also raised from the dead. Look at 1 John 3:9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. He's not talking about your flesh. He's not talking about your soul. He's talking about your spirit part. 1 Corinthians 6:17, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. First John 3, let's just go there. It says, when you are born of God, whoever is born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. That seed is Jesus Christ. You can go read Galatians 3. That seed is Jesus Christ, the incorruptible seed on the inside, the hope of glory. Is on the inside of you now. Jesus on the inside of you. Turn to the person next to you, say, a holy God on the inside of you. And he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Jesus cannot sin. He never sinned because he's God, he's pure and holy. But he's made a way for that incorruptible seed to be on the inside of you. And when you confess with your mouth and you believe with all your heart that Jesus died and that he was made alive, the Holy Spirit affects that prayer when it's in faith, and he sanctifies your heart. He who knew no sin became sin so that you can become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. By faith, your heart is sanctified. Justified. Just as if you've never sinned. Salvation is a three-part process. Justification in your spirit, just as if you have never sinned. That part which is pure, that part which is holy. That's why when we worship God, we worship Him in spirit and in truth, from a holy heart, a pure heart. Matthew 5 verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. If your heart is not pure, you cannot see God. And this is the work that He has done, sanctified our hearts. Can I have one amen? Where does the devil attack? The devil attacks your heart. He wants to contaminate your heart. Because if you're offended in your heart, you bring unrighteousness in your heart, whereas God has made your heart righteous. The battle is for the heart. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Have you ever woken up in the morning and there's just a song, you're singing a song? I'm not going to mess it up, okay? But you know what I mean, amen. When I wake up with song singing, I'm saying, I just say, thank you, Jesus. And I have a Jesus moment. I have a Holy Ghost moment, amen. But you know, when you woke up and woke up this morning and you were singing a song, where does it come from? It's your spirit, your heart. So what God values most about you is beyond human comprehension, because in our hearts, we are made to be like God. That's why you have to give God the rightful place in your heart. That's the first work of the Holy Spirit, is to regenerate our spirit. So that when God looks at you, He sees Jesus on the inside of you. That purity, that holiness. Amen? He puts His peace, not the peace of this world, the peace of heaven, in your heart. That although there's a storm around you, you can have peace on the inside. That's why you protect that peace with everything on the inside of you. That's the first area where you should prosper, your heart. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What does it mean? It means what you believe. You can be the most beautiful specimen on this earth, but if you in your heart believe that you're ugly, you're going to behave ugly. But if you believe on the inside God has made you holy, that His nature is on the inside of you, not through our works, but through the work upon the cross. Turn to the person next to you and say, there's no good work you can do on this earth that will make you holy. Only Jesus is holy. That's what the Lord did. The Lord is rules, do this, do this, do this, do this, and you'll get closer to God. But when the law came, sin revived and I died. Christians have been serving God for a long time, we often become judgmental. Because where you used to lie and you used to steal, you've stopped doing that. Now you think, I'm doing something's right. Now you judge people from your strengths. But when you do anything in your own strength, it cannot please God. Remember when the law came. When the law came, Moses went up, the law came. What's the first thing that they did? They sinned. Made a golden calf. How many people died? 3,000. 3,000. At the opening of the temple, of Solomon's temple, how many priests were in there? 120. So New Testament, when the Holy Spirit came, how many were filled with the Holy Spirit in the upper room? 120. Do you think it's by chance? No. How many got saved when the Holy Spirit was poured out? About 3,000. That's what the Bible says. Can you see? Old covenant, death came. New covenant, life came. So not your works, but His works, what He has done. Look at Titus 3 verse 5. Not by the works of the righteous which have been done, but according to His mercy have saved us through the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Say regeneration. Say renewing. Whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Listen to me, family. Many times we as Christians, we serve God from here instead of from here. Jesus didn't come to this earth to die for our sin just to make us alive. He came to renew, regenerate, and make everything new about you. There's a big difference. Big difference. Jesus became sin so that we can become his righteousness. We were never righteous, but we believed, and therefore we receive his righteousness. So renew, regenerate, and transform us by the Holy Spirit. Do you want the Holy Spirit? Let me see if you want the Holy Spirit. That person that's raised their hand, turn to them and say, get ready to change. Who likes change? Nobody likes change. Everybody kicks against change. I mean, just try and change your seat where you sit every Sunday. In the church. So this is what Jesus came. He came and led the way to come and show us a more excellent way. Colossians 1:15 says, he is the image of the invincible God, the firstborn over all creation. Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. You can go read Hebrews 12 as well. It talks about the same, the angels gathering together, that he's the firstborn. Amen? So what's the difference between Lazarus that died and was made alive and Jesus that died and was made alive? There's a big difference. Lazarus died and was made alive, but he was still the same person. His thinking didn't change. His nature didn't change. His attitude didn't change. He was just dead, and now he was alive. But Jesus was clothed with our sin. He became sin. He never sinned. He went to hell, paid the price in full. But then God the Father said after 3 days, it's enough. He never sinned. He became sin. Holy Spirit, go into hell and disconnect him from all of mankind's sin. Sanctify him and let him be regenerated by the light and the life that's in Christ Jesus to become the firstborn in a glorified body. Not just he's dead and now he's alive. Because then if he was made alive and brought back, he would still be clothed with our sin. But he was disconnected from the sin. So the difference when you are born again, you're born of the Holy Spirit, you're disconnected from sin. Your sins are forgiven. Can I have one amen? Family, listen to me. This is the miracle of what Christ Jesus has done. Sin has been dealt with so that you can have a heart, Romans 8 verse 1, where there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you feel condemned, it's in your soul. The devil attacking you with thoughts. Can you see how important it is what Jesus did for us? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8 verse 2, it says that he is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. There are two laws against you. I want you to see this and understand. There's two laws against you. The law of sin and the law of death. The law of sin, Jesus dealt with sin by dying on the cross. But he dealt with death through his resurrection. So it's not just what you've been saved from. It's what you've been saved into. Can I have an amen? He's not just taking your sin away, but he's giving you new life in Christ Jesus. That his divine nature, his ability can work in you, with you, and through you. Otherwise, we're just a Lazarus. Am I talking to the right people here? Turn to the person next to you, look them in the eyes and say, I think there's hope for me. Turn to the person on the other side and say, I know there's hope for me. So when you are battling with things, bad habits in your flesh, bad thoughts in your soul, your mind. So you're not dead and you're made alive. When you're a Christian, you are resurrected by Holy Ghost power. that sanctifies you, disconnects you from sin, cleanses your heart that it can be righteous so that you can see God and experience God. So that when you pray now, it's the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man that can avail much. Not because of what you've done, but what Jesus has done. Turn to the person next to you and say, this work is so much deeper. Listen to me. Paul writes in the book of Corinthians 15 verse 45, he says, the first Adam was a living soul. He says, but the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. You're not just saved out of sin, you're saved into a new life in Christ Jesus, where everything becomes new. And you can be a life-giving spirit. What did he say? Rivers of living water will start to flow out of your belly. So you might go into a situation where the soil is hard. People's hearts are hard, hardened. And you let that water start to flow. Doesn't matter how hard the soil is. If the water can flow, the hard soil will get soft. When the hard soil gets soft, we can plant good seeds. Many times there's good seed planted in the hard soil. But now when water is there, it can start to grow. You've become a life-giving spirit. You're not just saved, oh, thank you, God, you've saved me from sin. I'm not going to hell. No, you're a life-giving spirit. You're an ambassador of heaven to manifest the glory of God here on earth. But power can only come after your spirit has been regenerated. Remember, think about Egypt, Israel in bondage. To get out of Egypt, what was required? The blood against the doorpost, Jesus dying on the cross. The next thing, you went through the Red Sea. What does that symbolize? Baptism, Romans 6 verse 1. They went through the water. As they went through, the water closed up Egypt. Egyptians were buried. That's the same. Your old man, your old nature being buried. And then what's the last thing? Cloud by day, fire by night. It's actually a fire the whole time. It just during the day couldn't see the fire. Amen. Turn to the person and say, fire is over you. So when you've accepted the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to sanctify your heart, everything changes. And this was the whole work, the reason why Jesus Christ came. For the Holy Spirit to be here. It's free, but it's not cheap. It cost Jesus Christ his life to be here. And he knew if the disciples were to be successful in their assignment, they could not do it in their own strength. They had to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 verse 8. Wait until you've received power, then go. All Christian service must be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. He's here to help us as the helper. So when you greet somebody as an usher, you're greeting them in the power of the Holy Spirit. When you pray, you pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Children's church ministry, serving the power of the Holy Spirit. Ushering, hostessing, worship team, media team, all in the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit, when heaven is in your heart, tell me something. Is there any complaining in heaven? Do you think the Holy Spirit ever complains and says, oh, I think hell is too deep and too dark. I cannot go in and get Jesus. No. Holy Spirit is not scared of hell. He's not scared of anything. If you're complaining about Christian service, oh, I have to go to church again. I have to go help in the children's church. If you're complaining, you should ask yourself, am I filled with the Holy Spirit? Say, hey, no. Because if we do it in the power of the Holy Spirit, it will empower us to do even more. Because what God has done is, he's not just saved you from your sin, he saved you into a new and better life where his divine power and his divine nature has become part of you. You've become a partaker of his divine nature. 2 Peter 1 verse 3, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How do you live a life of victory in Christ Jesus? How do you become more godly in what you do? His divine nature. You cannot do it. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. The promise of the Holy Spirit. that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. His divine nature on the inside of you. So what is the challenge? Now I'm walking and somebody cuts, or I'm driving and somebody cuts in front of me. What do I do? Do I yield to my divine nature? Bless you, brother. You're probably in need and trying to get to the hospital with a serious challenge that you're facing. Or you lean to your human nature. You idiot. What are you thinking? Do you know? Am I talking to the right people here? And everything. When you have a disagreement with your spouse, do you lean to your divine nature? She's a daughter of the Most High God. I better respect her. Or this flesh. You know I'm the head of the house. How dare you? Am I talking to the right people here? Because when the Holy Spirit leads you, He's gentle, He's kind. He brings light, He brings life. He brings understanding in a situation when you don't even understand it. It's the servant that's with the man of God and he sees all the armies coming against him. And he says, oh, we're dead. And the man of God says, just open his eyes, Holy Spirit, that he can see that those that are for us are more than those that are against us. If you can see what the Holy Spirit is seeing, even when the enemy comes against you, your attitude will be much better and fear will not grip your heart. So when you say, I have a desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the desire is actually to change, to become more like Jesus. All things that pertain to life and godliness. That is, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness or His godliness. And all these things will be added. That's the working of the Holy Spirit. Turn to the person next to you and say, seek first the kingdom of God. Because resurrection power will always lift you to a new level in Christ Jesus. Will take your life to a new level. When everybody is negative, everybody is hard, everybody is cold, and you're letting the rivers flow, you'll be the one to make it the swell soft. When they're harsh and hard, you can answer in a gentle way. So power comes after you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. But to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you have to sanctify this. You must be born again. Turn to the person next to you and say, you must be born again. Then there's an infilling. Then there's a transformation. When you give Jesus the rightful place in your heart, by His very nature, it will start to change you. And you'll find yourself acting with God, walking with God, talking with God. Why was it that Nicodemus came to Jesus if he was convinced that God was God? He was a teacher of the Jews. Why did he come to Jesus? Because he was convinced he was not converted. He said to him, why are all these things happening in your life? Why is there a move of the Holy Spirit? And Jesus said to him, unless you're born again, you cannot see it. He says, what do you mean? How can I go back into my mother's womb? He says, I'm telling you now, if you're not born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You cannot be part of the way that God operates. Turn to the person next to you and say, you must be born again. So convinced means I'm serving God from here. The Ten Commandments, the law and everything. Converted means I'm serving Him from here. His ability has become my ability. I'm allowing His divine nature to change. What did Paul say? He says, this is the way that you start to live in victory. I've been crucified with Christ. This sin part, this flesh that wants to sin and do its own thing, says, I'm crucifying it with Christ. And I no longer live. But the life that I live through the Holy Spirit that's working in me, with me. He says, I'm relying on my divine nature. Do we get it right every time? No. I once heard somebody say, it doesn't take too long to become a good Christian. About 85 years. 85 years of killing this flesh. Amen. But here's the secret. 2 Corinthians 3:16. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, turn to the person that you say, turn to the Lord. Paul says, when you turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Then you start to see how God operates. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Amen. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, liberty. Verse 18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. He says we are being changed from glory to glory. Do you want to change? Let me see. If you want to be more like Jesus, you know what the Bible says, what you're going to have to do? It says, with unveiled face. You know what that means? It means take off the mask. Take off the mask and just be real. If it's a thank you, Jesus, Jesus, I love you here at church, then it's thank you, Jesus, Jesus, I love you at home. And it's thank you, Jesus, Jesus, I love you at work. It's not you become a secret agent. This is the first thing that the Holy Spirit will do when He starts working in you, with you, and through you. You'll see that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You love Him here, not a loud hallelujah here, and no hallelujahs at home. Because when He changes you from the inside out, it's everywhere. Then serving is not something you do. It's who you've become, because the greatest servant lives on the inside of you and He's helping you to serve in whatever department you are. Holiness is not something you do. It's who you've become, because He who knew no sin became sin so that you can become the righteousness and holiness of God. Humility is not something you do. It's who you've become because of your total dependence upon the Lord for everything. Worship is not just something you do, it's who you've become. Because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you to help you to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So you are filled with God's presence, His nature, to manifest heaven here on earth. That's our assignment. Do you know Jesus prayed for you? In the Bible, I'll show you. He prayed for you to be receive the glory of God so that you can go out and win souls. Fill you with glory so that you can be a testimony of the Lord's goodness that people can believe in Him. Let me show you. John 17 verse 20. Jesus praying here. He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word. Who of you have believed in God through His word? He's praying for you. That they all may be one as You, Father, are in Me. That's why it's so important for us to come together as the church. Because when we are in Christ Jesus, baptized into one Spirit, into one body, to drink from one Spirit, the glory of God can start to manifest. And Jesus is exalted. That they all may be one as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that You have sent Me. And the glory which You gave Me, I have given them, that they may be one just as We are one. I in them, You in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that You have sent Me and have loved Me, or loved them as You have loved Me. The glory, Father, You have given Me, I have given them. For what reason? For the world to believe. Are you shining a glory that people can believe? The disciples, when they went into Samaria, and they did not want to accommodate Jesus, what did they want to do? They wanted to call down fire to destroy them. Say, Lord, do we have Your permission? We're going to fire them. And Jesus said to him, you don't know what spirit you're of. Wait until you've received power, then you come back to Samaria. Turn to the person that you say, hey, no. God sometimes first has to work in us to transform us from glory to glory. Actually, if you're going to read that whole portion in the book of Corinthians, he's talking about the law and he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, where the one kills and the one brings life. And being changed from glory to glory is actually many times us that have to change from the glory that's in the law. It's good to do everything right, but don't think because you're doing everything right that you're in right standing with God, to move over to the glory which is in the Holy Spirit, where you are saved by grace. Let me close with this. The Holy Spirit created you. That means, number one, you are the greatest product of the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty has given me life. Number two, He regenerated you. Regenerated you, linked you up with God again. Amen? And then He saturated and filled you with the Holy Spirit, so that you can go out and be a testimony. So today is Pentecost Sunday. But if you get filled with the Holy Spirit, your life's going to be changed. His divine nature has become part of you now. Moses said, I'm not going into the promised land unless the Holy Spirit goes before me. David was not a giant slayer family. He had a friend in the Holy Spirit who disposed of giants. In your own strength and ability, you cannot face a giant. But when you have the Holy Spirit, He can help you. Peter knew he needed the help of the Holy Spirit. Paul knew he needed the help of the Holy Spirit for Christ to be formed on the inside. As a matter of fact, they were so passionate about this. In the book of Acts, we see that all were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now they could go to Samaria and people could get saved. You actually see when people got saved in Samaria, what was the first thing the disciples did? They sent Peter and John to Samaria so that they could get filled with the Holy Spirit. If you get people saved, get them filled with the Holy Spirit. Because otherwise they're serving God from here and not from here. They can do things in their own strength. Go to Acts 8 verse 14. I'm going to close with this. Let me show you here. Before the disciples wanted to call down fire, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, they wanted to call down fire. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. But when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet He had not fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to do today. Everybody who has not received the Holy Spirit, we're going to lay hands on you. And all will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was ministering down now in Durban, there's one lady, when I was ministering and praying, I said, what do you want me to pray for? So she says, I want to pray in tongues. Can you pray for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I said, no problem. I said, Jesus is the one who baptizes her. There's not even pressure on me. He's the one that's going to do it. Prayed for her, laid hands on her, started praying in tongues. The next minute, she's singing like a canary. Say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. The same thing happened in Acts 19. Paul comes and there's 12 disciples and they're serving. The Bible says they are serving. They are disciples. And he says, you can read from verse 1. He says, have you received the Holy Spirit? They say, we've not even heard about the Holy Spirit. He says, then what were you baptized? They say, we were baptized in John's baptism. He says, no, that's a baptism unto salvation. For you to get saved, you need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And in verse 6, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul having passed through, no, go to verse 6. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll start to speak in tongues. Why is that important? Because it builds you up in your most holy faith. The Bible says you are praying the perfect will of God. Amen? Into your situation. Amen. And they started to prophesy. When you take the word of God and you declare it, you are prophesying. Amen. This is the working of the Holy Spirit. Prophetic words. A message like today can be a prophetic word for you. And if you take it to heart, it will change your life. You cannot be a Christian, number one, if you're not born again. You cannot walk in the fullness of what God has got for you if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. So make a decision to say, Lord, your divine nature, let it manifest in me. When you are born again, protect the peace on the inside with anything and everything in you, because the enemy will try to contaminate this through offense. I want to leave you with this. Do you know why they all prayed for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit will help you to forgive. The Holy Spirit will show you, as God has forgiven you, you can forgive. If you cannot forgive and you continue in unforgiveness, you are playing with your salvation. You're playing with your salvation. Because this is what the gospel is all about. A pure heart. Being able to forgive because God has forgiven you. Under the Old Covenant, Old Testament, how did it work? When they disobeyed, when they sinned, the Holy Spirit departed from them. That's why David said, do not let your spirit depart from me. But in the New Testament, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But what is the conditions now? Old Testament, if you sin, the Holy Spirit departed. New Testament, Acts 5 verse 32, when they obeyed God, the Holy Spirit was given to him. So he's never going to leave you. He'll never forsake you. Through your disobedience, you can grieve him. But if you want more of the Holy Spirit to work in you, with you, and through you, it requires obedience. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon me. Touch my heart, change my heart to do your will now and forever. Grant unto me the grace to be able to forgive the same way that you have forgiven me. You know, this morning in the prayer room when I was praying, everybody that just came to mind, I just forgave. Because I don't want anything to contaminate this heart, but that Jesus would have the rightful place. As Christ has forgiven me to be able to forgive, that I know he's made this heart righteous, and I'm doing everything on my side to keep this a righteous dwelling place for him. And what does the Bible say? It's not how you feel. He says, when you confess your sins, he is faithful and just. When you come to the altar and you want to bring your gift and you know your brother's got something against you, go make right. It means when you are born again and God has sanctified your heart, you've got a conscience. And Paul said, I need a good conscience towards God and man. You know, sometimes we have disagreements even on a Sunday morning before we have to come to church. The good news is only pastors write that test. No congregation members. Have you ever read the pure heart test? Wrote the pure heart test on a Sunday morning before you want to just come and worship your Jesus. Let me just see your hand. Okay. And sometimes I really think she's wrong. And I'm sure many times I'm wrong. But we have one rule. And we listen to our conscience that we don't step onto this platform until we've made right with each other. And it's not me going to her. And by the grace of God, in 22 years, we've not done it. That's the honest truth. But when we make right, the Holy Spirit will lead you and show you that if you have made a mistake, if you've said something wrong, a harsh word or whatever, because God is so pure and holy, I mean, we can now grade sin, a grade 1, 2, 3, was it a level 10? Sin is sin. Amen. So when you want to go make right, listen to me. I don't go to and say, I know you were wrong, I forgive you. You're making the situation worse, amen? And you look like a fool. If you know that you've sinned and you've done wrong, the first person you make right with is God. God, forgive me, I've sinned against you and you alone. Remember the prodigal, he said, Father, I've sinned against heaven. You first make right with God and say, God, forgive me, sanctify and cleanse my heart. Then you go, not with the mindset, she's 80% wrong, I'm 20% wrong. When you go make right, it's if you've engaged, if you've said something, you're 100% guilty. Can I have one amen? If you've engaged, if you've said something, you're guilty. So when you go, I go and I'm 100% wrong. And I say, please forgive me. And she says, yes, I forgive you. And then she says, please forgive me. I don't make her do that. It's her decision if she wants to do it. But she always does that as well. And many times she comes first when I have a bit of, you know, there's a thing they call stubbornosis. It's like a men battle with it sometimes. Have you heard of stubbornosis? Pray for us. But she will come and say, I'm sorry. And then I'm so grateful that the Holy Spirit is prompting her to do that. Because then it makes my heart soft and other way around as well. And as Christ has forgiven us, we forgive. So that when I minister to you, there's not unforgiveness in my heart. Because if I minister to you with a hardened, stubborn, unforgiving heart, it can come upon you. So be careful what church you sit in. That's why many times by the grace of God, it might be easy for you to forgive when you don't always want it to forgive. Because we really work very hard at forgiveness. Can I have an amen from you, my wife? And it's just the grace of God. It's just the grace of God. Men, let's be the head. If we, the priest, then it means we are filled with the Holy Spirit. If I'm the priest and I want to be led by the Holy Spirit, it means I'm crucifying this flesh. I'm the first to say sorry. You know, when I've done wrong, because sometimes, I mean, by the grace of God, it's not happening a lot. When we were young and untamed, I mean, I was like a wild horse. I mean, thank God for 32 years. I'm confessing my sins here towards you. Amen. Pray for me. Do you know what I'm talking about? But when I make mistakes and I've done things wrong, I go to my children as well and I say, please forgive me. What I said there was not right. I shouldn't have said that as a father nor as a pastor. Please forgive me. Pray for me. I'm praying for you. And that's what I try and do. And that's the way that I live. Just give the Lord a hand. And it's just the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that makes that possible. Because I know if I don't have the Holy Spirit, how do I pray for people? We want people to believe in the world. We want to manifest the glory of God. But be careful of things. Certain entertainment in this world is there to destroy the grace of God in your life. And the Holy Spirit will tell you that. You say, oh no, Holy Spirit, just fall afresh upon me. And this, no. Listen to Him as He leads and He guides you. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.